Good morning, everyone. The Bible reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel 6 and verses 5 to 8. I'm reading from the Easy English version of the Bible. At the end of this Bible reading, when Jesus tells us how we should pray, I would like you to join me in saying what we call the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. Jesus said, "When you pray, do not be like proud, selfish people. They love to stand up and pray loudly in the houses where people meet and on the street corners. They want other people to see them. What I tell you is the truth. They have received their complete reward already. But when you pray, go into your room alone. Close the door and pray to your Father in heaven. Although you cannot see him, your Father sees what you do in private. He will reward you. When you pray, do not be like the people who do not believe God. They continue to say many things that have no meaning. They think that they must talk a lot. Then their God will hear them. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need. He knows even before you ask him." Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forget us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. From yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Thank you, Lydia. Well done. Lydia is one of the people who breaks the Persian barrier in our group. Lydia has a background in Italy, and at the moment our international group is very much Persian. My name is Alan, and I am one of the pastoral team here, and they have given me the title of pastor for international people and seniors. I'm not sure why they've given me the title of seniors, but maybe it's something to do with this. It is good to be here. It is good to be to bring the international group into the service this morning. We don't get up here very often, but this morning is our opportunity. Late last year and early this year, Jason started a series on the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not sure whether it was God who spoke to me or what it was, but I decided that we would have a series on the Lord's Prayer in the international group. And we studied what Jesus was teaching his disciples when they asked him to teach them to pray. Now, questions. Why did the disciples ask this question when they knew how to pray? And this was one of the questions I asked the international people. Why do you think the disciples had to learn from their master how to pray? They knew how to pray. We've got many examples in the Bible where Jesus teaches the people about the Pharisees who stood up and prayed loud and clear in the marketplace. But they watched Jesus pray and saw the difference and saw Jesus' praying habits, personal. Jesus went to the mountains by himself to pray. Intimate. Jesus talked with his Father. And I'm sure you have recited this prayer that we spoke just a few moments ago many times, but have you stopped and studied what the Lord's Prayer is actually saying? The first three sections address God, our Father. The last four sections are concerned with human needs and concerns. For example, our daily bread. Your will be done in our lives. Rescue us, Father, from the evil one. As we studied, we stopped and reflected on each phrase. And out the back, and this is why we go out the back halfway through the service, because we speak in slow, careful English, much researching for the simplest English word, much translation to find the Persian word that fits and helps understanding. Ask these boys down here, they're always finding a new Persian word for us. And I kept asking the question, what does this phrase mean to you? It is one thing to understand what the Bible is saying, it's another to apply meaning to us personally. We divided the prayer into seven parts. With the help of a tutor, they worked on their section. And I just must stop here and say grateful thanks to Helena, Laurie Perriman, who's away at the moment, Nolene and Bob Hunt, and Laurie Lucas. These people came out and were happy to give their Sunday morning to the international people and help them understand just that little bit more about the Bible. So when you ask the question, what does it mean to me? Some statements become, of course, very personal. So let's hear from the Unley Park Baptist Church International Group, which has become at the moment, as I said before, Unley Park Baptist Church Persian Group, except for Lydia, who brings the Italian flavour to our group. Now, as I said a moment ago, that these people are coming up, some of them in fear and trembling, to stand before you to read their paper. So I'm going to ask the first man, and he is coming up with fear and trembling, Sam.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I am going to tell about the first two words in what we will call the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
In those two words of the prayer, that Jesus taught his disciples, Jesus invites them and us to call the great
Creator God,
our Father. I think this is most wonderful phrase in whole of the prayer. Jesus in saying the in I can come and have a conversation with God who is near us. Jesus like and the friend or like I hold talk with my earthly father. The Bible tell us firstly that when God look at the human
beings,
he says them I like dirty old rags. The Bible also tell us that he says us this way because he is pure and holy. I know that I don't deserve to talk directly to God because I do bad things and I often don't to want I know God wants me to do. but of these things make me sinner. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, he accepted me just the same. Who amazing is God's grace. Some people believe in God that is far away from them. They don't know him like child who can come talk to dirty father. But I know God because he come to earth in Jesus as human. And on the cross, he took my sin often himself. Because Jesus did this and I have Jesus in my life, I am clean and come to God and my Father. You can come to God, you are Father, if you have a Jesus in your life.
Amen. Well done. Holy is your name, Sarah.
Morning, everybody. The first speaker, Sam, said that Jesus told us that we could talk to God as our Father. The word Father brings with it, number one, love. That's mean love without condition. Number two, family. That means you belong to God's family. You are a son or daughter of the great creator God. Number three, an entrance. That means you are an inheritor of the Father's position. Number four, safety from Satan and his demons. Jesus says that you have the great privilege of calling the Holy God's Father, and you can come to him as your Father just as a child comes to his father. You must respect his name of Holy. It's interesting that the word Holy means, number one, separate from everything evil, wrong, or bad. Number two, pure, clean, and worthy to be worshipped. Number three, because God is holy, he is more important than any other person or being. In my country of Iran, parents chose names for their children because of the meaning. For example, my name is Sarah, which means lady, princess, or important woman. Someone said that it doesn't matter what name you give God, they are all the name. That is not correct. The Bible makes it clear that the name you give God must be a holy name. I will tell lovely names the Bible gives God. Jehovah Shalom. That means the Lord is peace. As a Christian, you must protect the name of God because he is a holy God. Lots of people use "Oh my God" as a throwaway expression. It's meaningless and not respectful to your Father who asks that you respect his holy name. You, as a Christian, have been set apart to protect God's name and to love him as he loves you. These are Bible words. We have been set apart as holy because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. I will worship God through Jesus. I will live to please him. I will respect God's holy name always.
Amen. Thank you. The next phrase, your kingdom come. Tony.
name is Tony. I'm very happy that I'm here and I'm giving my testimony to you guys. Oh, hiya. All right. Thank you. All right. I'm a little bit nervous about when I'm seeing a lot of people. I'm really honored of being a part of international Bible study that held here in Baptist Church. I'm Persian. I'm a refugee coming to your country as a seeking asylum and seeking refuge. And we were talking about the Lord's Prayer, the most important prayer that we need to understand about our Lord Jesus Christ and the way He taught us to name Him, remember Him, and the way that we should ask our daily bread, our needs, and our worries and sufferings and everything. And Alan, you know, tells me to read this. Okay. Cheating on me.
I know Tony very well. What time did you want to have lunch?
Okay, guys. Okay. Jesus. Do you realize that in this third statement, Jesus is telling you that God wants His kingdom to come on earth? Actually, Jesus tells us in the Bible that kingdom of God started when He came to this earth. It's already started when He came to this earth. So the kingdom is there, is here with us now, but is not complete. The kingdom started small with Jesus, but as a people gave their lives to Jesus, they become part of their kingdom. It's the more important thing is Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. If anybody is in Christ, he or she is a new person. The old life is gone and the new kingdom life has begun. This is my own testimony. I grew up in a very conservative Shiite Muslim country and a family where you were told to conform, and I got many lashes over asking a religious question from Muslim clergies. Lashes in public because of the children. I don't want to explain more. It's a traumatic. Later, I met an Armenian group in Tehran, the place that I was living. I've been told about Jesus Christ. Later, I left Iran and traveled to Australia by boat. I got to Darwin, but I was transferred to Manus Island, where I was forced to stay for a long time. And under a very severe and cruel conditions. Finally, I was allowed to enter to Australia, where I was baptized by full immersion in Baptist Church in Stafford Heights in Brisbane. My torture and beatings in Iran and Manus Island have left me broken in body and mind, but because of Jesus and the cross, I am part of God's kingdom. I know that the Bible tells me that this kingdom is not finished, and one day Jesus will come again and bring a new heaven, a new earth. This will be God's kingdom complete, and I will have no more crying, no more pain, and life will be perfect as God intended it to be, and the beginning of the creation. Jesus tells us again and again that he is coming soon. In Revelation 22:20, the Apostle John records Jesus saying, "Yes, I am coming soon." In between, I want to say that the world is full of cruelty. Who's going to fix all of this? Who? I don't want to talk about a lot of things that happened to me. But who's going to fix all of this? We need some savior, some holy being to fix all of this. The government cannot fix a lot of problems that occurs in the world. We know all of this. We need somebody to save us personally, in our life, to save our families. This is the reason Jesus should come and will come.
Amen.
Thank you. That's why Jesus urges us to pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and complete the work you have started. I'm ready for Jesus to come. My question to you is, are you ready for Jesus and his kingdom to come? Thank you.
That Tony has just touched on his life at Manus Island. Talk to him and you'll hear more. The next one is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Smiley. Heaven.
Good morning, everyone. The fourth section, of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus tells us to pray is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Bible tells us that God's will is obeyed perfectly in heaven. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work in perfect harmony. The angels and all the heavenly creatures obey the will of the Father. I believe Jesus is asking us to pray that the earth be like heaven, where every person obeys the will of the Father. That is, that the earth be returned to the state that it was when God first created it, perfectly obeying the will of the Father. That is, until Adam and Eve destroyed this perfect relationship by disobeying God's will. The question is, can I be perfect and obey God's will every day while I live on the earth? The answer is, by myself, no. But in Christ, I am a new person before God. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if anybody is in Christ, he is a new person. The old life is over. The new life has already begun. God has done all this by Christ. He has changed us from his enemies into his friends. So, because I have Jesus living within me, I know I am a new person. I know God loves me and wants the best for me. I know he is with me and will protect me from Satan and allow me to live in this earth and enjoy love with Jesus. I know Jesus has saved me from the judgment to come and has given me eternal life. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will continue to make me strong, so I can live the life that Jesus wants me to live every day. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Hamid. Well done. Give us today our daily bread, Olam Reza.
Good morning, everyone. I'm really pleased to be here and explain to you what this part of the Lord, the Lord's Prayer means to me. Remember when the Israelites were in the desert, traveled to Canaan, the land that God promised would be their home country. The Bible tells us that they ran out of food and they called out to God for help. Remember, God supplied them the manna and quails for meat. God gives them this food, but told them that they were to take only what they needed for one day, and that they had to trust Him for the next day, for the next day's food. Some people trust God and took only one day's supply. Other people did not trust God and took more into their tents. During the night, this food went to rotten and smelled really bad. For this, I learned that I can trust God for my daily needs, but this is not just food. God wants me to trust Him every day for courage to speak for Him to my family and my friends. When I have to speak decision for my family and for peace. When things seem to wrong in my life, I learned that I can trust God. One night when I was alone at home, my appendix burst. I had terrible pain and I did not know what to do, so I called out to Jesus and the pain went away. Jesus was there that day to help me. That was the time I gave my life to Jesus. The next day I knew Jesus was there with me in the hospital, and that day that followed when I had an operation. I know that Jesus does not always give me what I want, but I know that he gave me what is best for me. Each day when I pray, give me this day my daily needs. I know that Jesus hears me and will supply all I need to do His will for that day. Thank you very much.
Now, the next reader is a very special reader. We had a man who was going to read this, and he rang me yesterday. He said, I can't come. Neda came to support her brother-in-law because he was very concerned about reading this morning. Now, Neda, this is her first time in the international group. She has been here before and knows the church well, but she has taken over the place. With one morning, this morning, to read this part, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Good morning, everyone. I am really pleased to hear and explain what asking God to forgive my debts. And for me, in return to forgive the debts other owing to me. The first question that must be answered is, what are debts? To me, debts is usually money that I owe someone, or maybe I have borrowed money from a bank, and so I owed a debt to the bank. This can also be primes to do something nice to someone who has done something nice to for me. In the Lord's Prayer, I am asking God to forgive my give me and the debts I owe Him. God sends Jesus to die for me on the cross to take away the things that I have done that offend Him, or have not done the things that God would explain me to do, since that I am follower of Jesus. What Jesus did on the cross for me makes me clean before God. Because Jesus did this for me, I owe Him a debt. I know that God does not expect me to pay Him back, but He does expect me to forgive other people who have done wrong to me. Sometimes this is not an easy thing to do, especially when someone has hurt me badly. I know I could not do this in my own sting. In my own sting, I would want revenge. When I ask God to help me forgive someone, He will help me through the Holy Spirit, and I can forgive my debtors. Thank you for listening to me.
Wonderful. Well done. Sometimes the people tell me that they're not going to be here. Sometimes they don't. Reza, are you there somewhere in the congregation? Big Reza? No. Never mind. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. Reza was going to say, good morning, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to speak to you this evening. I chose to speak about this phrase in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. Now, Reza was going to say, I'm not sure why I chose this section. Maybe it is because I know that Satan tempts me into doing what I know is wrong. I know that temptation is not wrong because Jesus was tempted. Temptation is only wrong when I do something that I know is wrong. It is twice wrong when I do something and a little voice in my head says, don't do this. God would not like you to do it. We talked in our international group that sin is two things. Reza was going to say, one, doing what is wrong, like having bad thoughts about people and telling stories about people that I know are not true. And secondly, not doing what I know God wants me to do, like not reading my Bible, talking to God, and talking to people about Jesus when I get a chance. I think Jesus is teaching me in this prayer that we can be protected from temptation only when I put my trust in Him and ask Him to help me to be strong. I know that Jesus is my Savior. Reza was going to say, and we have talked quite a lot, Reza and I, about Jesus being his Saviour and whether baptism is in the near future for him. So he says, I know that Jesus is my Saviour. I know that Jesus loves me and wants the best for me. I know that Jesus wants to save me from doing wrong things. I know that Jesus can do all these things, but I also know that Jesus will deliver me from the temptation that the evil one brings to me only if I trust him to help me every day. My prayer is, please God, don't let Satan lead me to do bad things, but keep me strong in trusting Jesus every day at work and when I am in friends and when I'm at home. So thank you, Reza, for that. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It was interesting that that did not appear on the screen because Matthew says, gives us a little bit more than Luke does in the scriptures. I have one person who helps me and I rely on him very, very much. And that's Laurie Lucas. Thank you, Laurie, for all you do for me and for the international group. And Laurie is going to come now and finish and summarize and finish up the Lord's Prayer.
Good morning, everyone. It's my job just to briefly summarize what our friends from the international group have said this morning. Have you ever stopped to think how much courage it takes for people to get up and speak in a language which is not their primary language? Goodness, I can only speak English and then not very well. I did learn 3 years of French at school, and all I can say is je ne parle pas français, which means I can't speak French. So I think they did a wonderful job this morning. How about just giving them one more round of applause? It's been a real privilege to work with you guys this year and last year too. And thank you very much for putting up with me. So, the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. It can be recited, as we said today, but it can also be a basis for prayer in our own words. Jesus, when he was giving this prayer, first of all, he gave a few comments about prayer in general. He warns his disciples about phony grandstanding prayers, who he calls hypocrites. Instead, Jesus tells them to pray out of public view, in secret, to your Father who is unseen. He also says, don't be long-winded, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And I promise today I'm not going to be long-winded. So let's briefly take the Lord's Prayer line by line. Our Father in heaven. Well, as Sam said, some people think that God is far away from them. They don't speak to him as though they are speaking to an earthly father, as a child would. But in addressing God as our Father in heaven, we are calling on a God who is close to us, near enough for us to speak to him. We can talk to God who is near us, who wants to be our friend. We can talk with him like we would talk to an earthly father. The next line, holy is your name, or hallowed be your name in the more traditional translations. And Sarah talked on this line. Yes, it's a great privilege to know God as Father, but we must respect him because his character is holy. That is, he's separated or set apart from all that is evil. There's nothing bad in him. He deserves our worship. What a privilege it is to be able to speak directly to him, because he is pure and holy, and we are sinners who often disobey him. He's in heaven, and we are here on earth. His grace is amazing. It's also amazing that we who believe in the Lord Jesus are declared holy. That is, set apart for God's use. And that is only because of what Jesus has done for us. The Bible says we are made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus' body. Christ made that sacrifice one time, enough for all time, once for all. Then Tony, I thought Tony might speak for a fair time. He did well. He talked on the line, "Your kingdom come." And as he said, the kingdom of God started when Jesus came to live among people like us more than 2,000 years ago. And that kingdom will be final and complete when Jesus returns in great power and glory, and that's our expectation. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are praying for Jesus' kingdom to spread and be real in our earthly life. But we're also saying, "Lord Jesus, please come again soon." Now, Tony is very grateful that God has rescued him from some very dark experiences. And as Alan said earlier, please find out from Tony some more. His testimony is very interesting. God has saved him and restored him to health. And he awaits that final kingdom where there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Next we had Hamid, who spoke on the line, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, God's will is obeyed perfectly in heaven. We pray for God's will to be actioned in this life, here on earth, just as it is in heaven. Sin is everywhere in this life. We long for that final kingdom of God when Jesus returns. So we pray for a foretaste of heaven to break out in our world. You know what? God is changing us to be part of that foretaste. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, we are told, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." Next line, "Give us today our daily bread." And Olam Reza talked to us on this line. We can trust God to supply our needs each day. Of course we need food. We need clothing. We need shelter. The basics of life. God certainly wants us to have the means of providing our essentials. And we know that some of our asylum seekers struggle to even receive those essentials. There are other needs that God has promised to supply. There's courage to speak for Jesus as we mix with people during the week. There's wisdom to make godly decisions. There's peace that we can pray for when times get hard. Olam Reza cried out to God when his appendix burst. God heard and delivered him. Our God hears us when we come to him in need. Then Nita, you spoke on "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." I had to tell her when we practiced this beforehand that you don't pronounce the B in debt. You just ignore that. God has forgiven all our sins when we accept his gift of grace through Jesus' death on the cross. He is making us a new person by his Holy Spirit. And that means forgiving others as God in Christ has forgiven us. This is quite a challenge, isn't it? Jesus said, forgive others and you will be forgiven. I'm not telling you anything new when I say that forgiveness is not easy. C.S. Lewis wrote, everyone thinks that forgiveness is a lovely idea until there is somebody to forgive. So we need God's power in our lives to be able to forgive. Now, Reza was supposed to be here this morning to give us a talk on the line and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The evil one, Satan, is not some cartoon character, but a very real threat to us. There is a world system of thought that he can use, and a world system of thought and action that he can use to trip us up. And then there's the old nature within us. Before we knew Jesus, we had an old sinful way of thinking and acting. Satan will try to turn us from God by trying to get us to return to that old nature. Satan's temptation is real. We will often find our faith tested by him, but God has promised to deliver us. He tells us to wear God's armor so that you can fight against the devil's clever tricks. And finally, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When we pray this prayer, we're confirming that God, that Jesus is the only king, the ruler of our lives. In him there is power to forgive, to cleanse sin from our lives, and to start restoring us to all that we were meant to be. To him belongs eternal glory, because once crucified, he's been raised from death. And all who believe await that same heavenly glory, a new body that will last forever. Is this model prayer the basis for your praying? Prayer is multidimensional. It's not just our wish list. This prayer, the Lord's Prayer, tells us to thank God. It tells us to confess our sin to him, as well as to ask requests of him. May our gracious God bring joy and fulfillment in prayer to all of us. Thank you.